It was full dark. Frank popped a match into fire and lit the lamp by the side of the bed. He pulled on his boots. He buttoned up his shirt, slipped into his shoulder holster rig, and pulled on his coat. He needed several cups of good, strong coffee. Maybe that would put him in a better frame of mind. Maybe he could find a friendly poker game. Frank occasionally enjoyed a low-stakes game of cards with players who knew how and when to bet and when to toss it in and didn't lose control of their tempers when they lost. He had to find something to do. He certainly wasn't sleepy. He ran his fingers through his thick, dark brown hair, peppered with some gray, and made a mental note to buy a comb or a brush when the stores opened in the morning. Then he popped the cover on his pocket watch and checked the time. 9 o'clock. He had slept fitfully for several hours. He stood looking at his image in the slightly warped mirror and grimaced, thinking it was going to be a long night. He automatically checked his short-barreled .45 and shoved it back into leather, then slipped the chair from under the doorknob, unlocked the door, and stepped out into the hall. He checked the hotel dining room. Closed. He stepped out onto the boardwalk and into the cold, wet night air.
Morgan!
That's me.
I don't mean no harm, so don't get nervous and haul no iron.
I'm listening.
The ante's done went up on your head, Morgan. Somebody really wants to see you dead. They's $10,000 to the man who killed you.
Interesting. Who's putting up the money?
Somebody from back east is what I hear. Boston, I think. Some lawyer fella.
Dutton?
That's him, yeah.
Why are you telling me this?
You done me a favor once, long time ago.
Huh?
Yeah. I was drunk and mouthy and real pushy. You didn't kill me. You just walked away and let me live. I ain't never forgot that.
I appreciate it, friend.
Forget it. I'm gone, Morgan. Watch your back.
I'll do that.
Frank stood in the cold wind for a moment. $10,000 was a lot of money. It would bring out any number of manhunters.
Wonderful. That's all I need.
A policeman walked by and gave Frank the once-over. Frank stared right back, as was his habit. The policeman stopped and looked squarely at Frank.
Something on your mind, officer?
You look familiar to me, that's all. Ever been in Denver before?
Not since it got this big.
It has grown, hasn't it?
The regular city.
Passing through?
On my way into the mountains to the strike. Probably pull out in the morning.
The way I hear it, it's a big one. I've heard of nuggets big as your fist found up there. Of course, now I haven't seen any of those. Well, good luck to you. Take it easy.
Thank you. I will.
Frank wandered for a couple of blocks until coming to a saloon. The bat wings were pulled back and the front door was closed to keep out the cold wind. Frank stepped inside and stood for a moment, eyeballing the scene. A few men stood at the long bar, drinking alone. About half the tables were filled. Frank walked to the bar.
Whiskey.
No one paid him more than a cursory glance. Frank lingered over his drink for a time. He was not much of a drinking man, but did occasionally enjoy a whiskey. The talk was about the recent strike up in the mountains. If one were to believe even half of what was being said, it was indeed a very big strike. Frank perked up and listened carefully.
And wouldn't you know it, Henson Enterprises staked out half of the area and already they own the biggest and best producing mine.
Is that squirt kid who lived here in town for a time running it? The one who took over the company after his mother was killed down in New Mexico?
You bet he is. Cocky little bastard, too.
Conrad Browning, Frank's son. Conrad had escorted his mother's body back east, then returned to the West to oversee the company's business, even though he had told Frank he hated the West and would never return.
Interesting.
You know what? I hear tell that snooty kid is really Frank Morgan's son.
Are you pulling my donkey's tail? The gunslick Morgan?
That's what I keep hearing.
Well, roll me in buffalo shit and call me stinky. How in the hell did something like that happen?
Beats me, but that's the talk going around.
You believe it?
I kinda do. After hearing about what happened down at that little town in New Mexico.
Frank stopped listening and stared down into the amber liquid in his shot glass. So, Conrad was running the show in the mountains. Seeing him again should be interesting, since the young man did not much like Frank. That was being kind, considering Conrad's real feelings toward his biological father. Frank finished his drink and walked slowly back to the hotel. He wouldn't have to travel far to find the Pine and Van Bergen gangs. Gold would draw them like a powerful magnet. Frank would provision up and pull out in the morning. The police were waiting for him when he got back to the hotel.
Frank Morgan.
That's me.
What's your business in Denver, Morgan?
Passing through.
To where?
Beats me. I'm just drifting.
Might be best if you just drifted on out of this town.
I plan to do just that. First thing in the morning.
The two officers stared at Frank for a moment.
No offense meant, Morgan, but gunfighters aren't welcome in this town.
No offense taken. I'd hate to run into a gunfighter myself.
Both police officers smiled at that.
Keep your guns in leather while you're here, Morgan. For your own good.
I plan to.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Frank sat in the lobby for a long time after the officers left.
If I had any sense at all, I'd stop this plan of revenge. Head on to California. Start a new life while I have time. Even if I do kill all the Pine and Van Bergen gangs, won't bring Fib back.
Still, Frank figured he owed Conrad any help he could give him.
Even though Conrad doesn't want my help, he's still my son.
Frank also had a hunch this gold strike was just about the last. Many, many millions of dollars in gold had come out of the area since 1860. Now, with silver prices going up and new loads of silver found, Central City, Black Hawk, and the other gold mining towns and camps in the area would soon see a rapid decline.
Same old song, just a different verse.
He went up to his room and stretched out on the bed. He didn't think he would sleep, but when he opened his eyes and lit the lamp to check his watch, it was almost 5 o'clock in the morning.
Man could get used to a feather bed.
He finished his morning routine quickly, was packed up and ready to go in 15 minutes. He sat in the lobby until the darkness was slowly pushed away by a dim gray light, then picked up his saddlebags and rifle and walked over to the livery. His horses were glad to see him and appeared anxious to once more get on the trail. He saddled up his riding horse, cinched down the pack saddle, and headed out of Denver. He stopped at a small store on the edge of town and bought bacon, beans, flour, and coffee. Then he bought several boxes of ammunition for his pistols and his .44-40 rifle. He lashed down his supplies, covered them with a tarp, and mounted up. He would take his time going to the mining camp. As yet, the place had no name and probably never would.
Mister!
The store clerk hailed him from the boardwalk just as Frank was lifting the reins. Frank paused and looked at the man.
You heading out for that new gold camp?
I was thinking about it.
Now be careful. Outlaws are working that area, hot and heavy. There ain't no law up there either.
Pine and Van Bergen gangs?
You heard about them, eh?
A little.
Yep. That's a bunch that's raising all sorts of hell up in the mountains. Packs of vicious white trash, that's what they are.
You from the South, mister?
You bet. Alabama originally. I come out here with my folks right after the war. Goddamn Yankees burned everything we owned. I still hate them. Where you from?
Texas.
Well, you be careful, Texas. Watch out for them outlaws, you hear?
I hear. Thanks.
Frank rode slowly out of town. Once past the city limits sign, he stopped and took off his shoulder rig, stowing it in his saddlebags, and belted on his pistol, a Colt 45 Peacemaker. On the left side of his gun belt, he carried a long-bladed sheath knife, honed to razor sharpness. Back in the saddle, he pressed on, heading for the mountains looming ahead. It was a good 2-day ride to the mining camp, but Frank was in no hurry. If it took a week, that was fine with him. The mountain road was narrow, in most places barely wide enough for two wagons to pass. There were pull-off places cut out for wagons to pull over and wait for an approaching wagon to get clear. At noon, Frank stopped for a lunch of crackers and cheese and a pickle he bought back at the general store on the edge of town. While he let his horses blow and roll, he washed his lunch down with cold water from a fast rushing stream, then rolled a cigarette and relaxed. He longed for a cup of good strong coffee, but had a case of the lazies. He didn't feel like digging out the pot and building a fire. Several huge wagons rumbled by in a group, under heavy guard by mounted outriders, front and back. Frank counted a dozen heavily armed men on horseback. The drivers and guards on the wagons were all well armed. They did not wave at Frank, and the mounted men gave him stern looks and suspicious once-overs as they rode past.
Howdy to you too, boys. Nice day, isn't it?
The wagons rumbled on out of sight and sound, heading for Denver. Frank stood up and stretched a couple of times, getting the kinks out of his muscles, then saddled up and cinched up both animals. He was just about to climb into the saddle when four men rode into view coming up the trail. He immediately formed an opinion of the duster-wearing quartet. He didn't like them. Frank always trusted his initial hunches, at least until the subject or subjects proved him wrong. It didn't occur very often. The approaching men were well mounted. Frank couldn't tell how well armed they were because of the long trail dusters they wore, but he suspected they were heavily armed. The closer they came, the more Frank's suspicions grew. Frank retrieved his short-barreled .45 from a saddlebag and slipped it into the left side pocket of his jacket. His jacket was unbuttoned, and he brushed the right side back, clearing his peacemaker for a draw. The quartet slowed as they approached Frank. Frank watched as they all slowly unbuttoned their long dusters, clearing the way for a draw.
Pretty well tells the story. Bounty hunters have to pick up $10,000 in my head.
The four men stepped their horses off the road and lined up to face Frank. They stared at him in silence for a long moment, then carefully dismounted, taking care never to turn their backs on Frank Morgan. Frank stepped away from his horse and walked to his right a few paces. The stream was behind him, a solid wall of upward-jutting rock on the other side of the fast-moving mountain creek. A few more yards to his right, there was scrub brush and a pile of rock from the carving out of the roadway. Frank figured he had a chance to make the cover of those rocks. Maybe.
Frank Morgan.
Who wants to know?
That ain't important. You was asked a question, so answer it.
Why don't you go to hell?
The questioner frowned and flushed darkly.
It's Morgan. Smart mouth and all.
Has to be.
He sure don't look like much to me.
Frank smiled at that.
You think I said something funny, Morgan?
I think you're a fool.
Bastard.
You boys think $10,000 is worth dying for?
Huh? $10,000?
You way behind the times, Morgan. The ante's done been raised to $15,000.
I guess somebody must really hate me to offer that much money. Either that or they're really afraid of me. Which one is it, boys?
Don't know. Don't care.
Then make your play and let's get this dance started.
You in that big a hurry to die, Morgan?
Nope. What's bothering me is what I'm gonna do with your bodies. Ground around here is too damn rocky to dig in.
The four men exchanged quick glances.
I guess I'm just gonna have to leave you here on the ground. Let the buzzards eat your innards.
You got nerve, Morgan. I'll give you that much. But I think you're a fool to boot. Just in case you can't add, let me sum it up for you. There's four of us and only one of you.
That's right, Hogface. But when one of you makes a move to pull on me, I'll kill two of you before the others can clear leather.
Hogface!
That's what I said. I call it like I see it, and you look like a hog to me. You could hire out that face of yours to scare little children.
Why, damn you to hell, Morgan!
Hogface flushed with anger, but made no move to drag iron. The other three exchanged nervous glances. This was not going as they were told it would. They were told Frank Morgan was an old man who had lost his nerve and his speed. The bounty hunters suspected someone had lied to them.